ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And tonight we're going to finish up Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. And, you know, as we've seen in our study of this letter, Paul's probably writing to churches in the southern portion of Galatia, the cities of Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, places he went to on his first missionary journey and his other missionary journeys also. And as we finished up our study last time, Paul spoke about walking in the Spirit, allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be manifested in our lives. And we saw that the fruit of the Spirit is singular, and that is love, that agape love that's manifested in our lives with joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Paul concluded chapter 5 last time in verse 25 by saying this, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Now, as we move into Galatians chapter 6 tonight, we see how that is played out in our lives, this walking in the Spirit. One writer put it like this. He said, "Paul ends his letter to the Galatians with practical applications of the doctrine he has just taught. Walking in the Spirit should give us a burden to help our fellow Christian and to support those who teach the word, that we may mature as believers. Finally, Paul makes one more appeal to avoid those who mix law with the salvation by grace." As we've seen in this study over the last several weeks, the law brought condemnation because there's no hope in keeping the law. And those that were still clinging to the law were very judgmental upon those who were walking in the grace of God. And really, if you think about it, that's how it works. And I've seen it from those who have tried to add works or the law to grace. There was not much that I was doing right, according to them. And it's interesting to me that this was a problem 2,000 years ago, and it's still a problem today for those that try to mix law and grace together. And that's why the application here in Galatians 6 is so important for us to understand and apply to our lives, because it flows out of the fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the law, which flows from the works of the flesh. And really, do you want to work in the flesh or walk in the Spirit? I want to work in the Spirit, man. I want to be controlled by the Spirit. That's my problem. You know, Paul said, if, you know, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, that's the problem, walking in the Spirit, surrendering to the Spirit. We fight against that, or we're not paying attention, and we let the flesh get the better of us. And again, you cannot do this on your own. It's by the grace of God. He's going to see us through. You know, in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26, Paul put it like this. He said, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." We are justified by his grace, not by the works of the law or keeping the law or being good, whatever, however you want to put it. You know, Paul said, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That means we've fallen short of God's requirement of perfection. And it's only by his grace that we can enter in. So with that said, let's pick up Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. Paul said this, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, Paul's not speaking of someone who is in ongoing and unrepented sin here. That person needs to be rebuked, and if they refuse to repent, if they continue on, then they need to be disfellowshipped. But what Paul said in Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, that's the problem. If you don't deal with sin, it's going to affect the entire body. And here in Galatians 6:1, Paul is speaking of someone who has fallen into sin, finding themselves in situations maybe they never dreamed that they would be in, and yet there they are, and we're there to help them to get back on track. Now, why did Paul even have to mention this? Well, because those that are bound in legalism come down against those that stumble, those that fall into sin, those that don't live up to the standard they have set. And I've said before, there's no compassion in the law. There's no love. There's only condemnation. You broke the law, you're guilty, end of story. But grace, there is the forgiveness. There is that love. You see the huge difference? And I realize some people struggle with this, but if you doubt it, read the Gospels and see how the Jewish religious leaders looked down upon those who didn't meet their standards. The Pharisees would walk down the street. They had their long robes, and they'd come across you. Oh, there's Jeff. Oh, I'm going to tuck my robe in, because if I touch my robe touches him, I'm going to be unclean. That's how they thought, that they were superior to everyone else, and everyone else was a sinner, and they didn't want to contaminate themselves. You know, the Jews thought that if only two people made it to heaven, one would be a scribe and one would be a Pharisee. That was in their mindset, because they thought they were keeping the law, but it was all an outward action. It's a matter of the heart. And that was the problem. You see, no love, no compassion, just disgust in the way that people acted. And they were thankful that they weren't like them. You know, thank God I'm not like that person. Wow. But for those Christians who understand grace, live by grace, they're going to act, or should act, graciously towards others. Because we have seen what God has given to us is amazing grace, and we don't deserve it. And so as we see others that are struggling with sin, we can extend the grace of God to them and help them in the situations that they're in. Now, here's one of the problems in the churches today. We put up a facade. Everything is great. I have no problems. I'm not struggling anywhere. You're a liar. Okay? We all do. And the problem is when a church, when a body of believers puts on a facade, when someone comes in that's really struggling, they feel miserable and they don't want to tell anyone. And they don't get any help. See, if we all struggle in different areas, we all have different things going on in our lives, and we can help each other. And it's so important that we do. Extending the grace of God to them in the situations that they're in. Think about it. For the legalist, the person who is in trouble, doesn't get the support, doesn't get the help, what they get is a lecture on how to be better. Condemnation. They may say something like, you know, I don't know how they could do that and call themselves a Christian. I would never think of doing anything like that. Isn't that pride? I mean, here go we by the grace of God. Man, why do they respond like that? Because it makes them look good, since they haven't done what other Christians have done. That's not love. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. But when a person who's walking in the grace of God hears someone who's struggling with sin, then they should give out love and encouragement to that person. The fruit of the Spirit should flow from their lives. It's all about grace. We're not to destroy or condemn the person. We're not condoning their sin. We're to restore them to the faith. And that's what we should be about. You see, they transgressed, they sinned either willfully, unintentionally. They don't need any excuses. They're not to be ignored, but restored. In fact, Paul uses the Greek word for restore that speaks of to put in order or to restore to its former condition. And I like that. That's a great word. It was a medical term to set a broken bone or a displaced bone. In Mark 1:19, it was used of the apostles mending their nets. And think about that. How has that played out in real life? You know, if you broke your leg, right, and you go to the doctor, does he stand across the room and tell you what to do? I don't want to get too close to you, so just pull on that leg and just, when you hear it snap, it's back in place. No, the doctor has to go there and he has to get close to you and he has to touch you and he has to help you. That's what we're to do. The same with the net that's broken or ripped. You have to touch it to repair it. And that's what's really being spoken of. You know, in Genesis 9, verses 20 through 23, we see how this is played out in a bad way and in a good way. These events took place right after the flood. And this is what we're told. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Look at the picture here. What did Ham do? Well, he gossiped. He told others of what his father, look at my dad, look at him over there. He's naked, he's drunk. And that's what the law does. It condemns, it puts down, it makes fun of others. But we see what Noah's two other sons did, Shem and Japheth. They walked in backwards and they covered their father's sin. That's grace, right? They didn't expose the sin, they covered it. They helped their dad out. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And again, Peter's not talking about ignoring the sins of others, as some like to think, but that fervent love of helping them, so important. Can you forgive what others have done to you and love them with that agape, that unconditional love that God has towards you? Are you willing to let those things go? And I'll tell you right now, in the flesh, you will never be able to do it. You have to surrender to the Spirit. You have to humble yourself. And we can think of all reasons why we shouldn't. Oh, no, you don't know this person. Did God forgive you? That's the biggest one, right? Of course he did. You know, that the idea of this fervent love is that of a muscle that is stretched to its limit. You can't do that on your own, like I said. But by the power of God's Spirit working in us, the fruit of the Spirit manifested really in our lives. And I've said that a lot already, but really that's what this chapter is born out of, what we read back in Genesis 5, the fruit of the Spirit. When you fall into sin, you do something that's wrong, do you want God to disown you, belittle you, put you down? Think about it. Does he do that? No. I mean, think about Peter, right? They're in the boat, Sea of Galilee, big storms coming, waves are high. Jesus was walking out to them. Peter steps out of the boat. He's walking on water towards Jesus. Things are going good. And then he's like, wait a minute, what am I doing out here? Waves are crashing over my head. I can't do this. And he starts to sink. And what does Jesus do? Loser. No, he doesn't say that. He reaches out to Peter to pick him up. That's our God. See, we lose sight of that. We let the devil beat us up. Are we going to fail? Yes. Okay, just you will. But understand, God's always there to pick you up because he loves you that much. He doesn't belittle you. He doesn't put you down. He restores you. And that's what we're to do with people. Help to bring them back up, to restore them. Extend that grace and mercy. And again, in a world where we don't see that a lot today, that's what should be manifested in the lives of Christians. You know, the world should see something so vastly different in us that it makes them curious. Well, why were you so nice to that person? They were so mean to you. You can tell them, I really didn't want to be nice to them. But the Lord showed me. He forgave me of all my sins. I needed to forgive this person. You see, it opens the door of ministry to share what God is doing in your life. And again, how important it is. You know, one of the greatest tragedies in the church today is when leaders fall, how the Christians mock them and put them down and gossip about them. That's wrong. You know, by the grace of God, we stand. Or as Paul put it, you know, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you should also be tempted. You know, John Stout put it like this. He said, this suggests that gentleness is born of a sense of our own weakness and proneness to sin. Yep. Just living under the grace of God and knowing what God has done in our lives, and I want others to receive that grace, that forgiveness as well. Paul's going to continue on with this. Listen to what he says in verse 2. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. So first of all, Paul brings up this idea of the one overtaken in any trespass, and it paints a picture of a person sagging under a heavy load. Have you ever met someone, or maybe you're going through it right now, just sagging under a heavy load that's come upon them or upon you? We've all been there. And isn't it great when someone comes alongside to help you? Isn't it wonderful? I can't tell you how often I've been blessed by people, especially my wife, but not just my wife, but people just coming alongside, encouraging me, lifting me up. It's just a wonderful thing, and I'm sure you feel the same way. I mean, I was talking to my wife, you know, with the potluck we had last weekend. You know, one of the greatest blessings to me was when everything was done, people just didn't leave. People just gathered around. They started putting tables away and chairs away. They're washing dishes. They're doing this. They're doing that. And everything was done, and it was a great time of fellowship, and it was so, what an encouragement to me. That blessed me so much. People may not realize that, but it did bless me. As we look here, we have to keep in mind that Paul in this letter has been dealing with this mixing of law and grace and how they don't mix, because he can't add anything to grace, because then it's no longer grace. And maybe Paul is speaking of the law and its heavy burdens upon people's lives, crushing them under its weight. Remember what Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Who is he talking to? The Jews. What was the heavy burden for the Jews? It was the law. I mean, I don't remember how many chapters there were on how to wash the pots and pans. Could you imagine? I'm sorry, hon, you're not doing that right. Page 32 here says, are you kidding me? But that's what happened with the law. It kept growing and growing and growing. And so not what God intended at all. And I think the law is so heavy upon people. I share with you before how my pastor had this woman come into their church that came out of a legalistic church. And, you know, they tried to share the love of Christ, the grace of God with her. And she was there for a while. But the law kept drawing her back. And she went back to the church. But she could never live up to the standards that were being set for her. And she ended up committing suicide. And her family called Pastor Phil and said, we don't want that church to have anything to do with our sister. We want you to do the service. Why? Because the law killed her. I mean, think about it. Day in and day out, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. Wouldn't that be horrible? That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Rest in me. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Here's the thing. We are to love as Christ loves, unconditionally, sacrificially. It's agape love. There are those who are always looking for others to carry them, and that's a problem. We are to help people. But as we're going to see, we have to carry our own load as well. Remember in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, we see an interesting story here. Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Again, this is, I'm better than you. Why? Because I'm doing this and you're not. And this is what he said. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, this keeper of the law was looking down upon others, exalting himself. And this tax collector saw himself as he really was. I'm a sinner separated from God. I can't even look up to heaven. And God accepted that man. You see, here's the thing. No matter when anyone says legalism deceives a person into thinking more and more highly of themselves. And what happens is God becomes smaller and smaller. Look at that Pharisee. Hey, look at all I'm doing. And it's interesting because Jesus takes the law a little bit farther than just outward actions, right? So it's a matter of the heart. Did you think about that? Were you looking upon another woman or upon another man in a lustful way? Well, you've committed adultery. You see, here is the grace of God that is extended to us. And for us, maybe some questions we need to ask ourselves. Why are we in a ministry? Why are we serving in the body of Christ? Are we looking for, you know, the applause of men? Are we looking, you know, for people to look up to us? The praise of men. And the problem is, if that's the focus, you're never going to be satisfied. Because I guarantee you, you will never get what you want. If you serve the Lord, you'll serve him to the end. Because he's faithful. People will always disappoint you. You know, it will happen. But who are you serving? You're serving the Lord. You do the work unto the Lord to the best of your ability. You bear your own load and you can rejoice in that. It's not sinful pride, but you're just trusting in God. Luther put it like this. He said, if we had to feel that the success of our ministry depended on our popularity with men, we would die. Because we are not popular. On the contrary, we are hated by the whole world with a rare bitterness. Nobody praises us. Everybody finds fault with us, but we glory in the Lord and attend to our work cheerfully. They wanted Luther dead in his day, right? The Roman Catholic Church wanted him out. He also said to preach the gospel for praise is bad business, especially when people stop praising you. Find your praise in the testimony of a good conscience. For anybody to covet praise is foolish, because the praise of men will be of no help to you in the hour of death. As it is, the praise of men stops when we die. Before the eternal judge is not praise that counts, but your own conscience. Absolutely. It's interesting because Paul talks about, you know, that we are to bear one another's burdens, those heavy loads that people are going through. And you know, again, I've talked about this. We know when people are struggling, when there's a heavy burden upon their lives. But then, as you look at verse 5, it says, but for each one shall bear his own load. Wait a minute. He's just said we're supposed to help people. Now you're saying, hey, take care of it yourself. Well, not exactly, okay? The word that Paul uses for burden in verse 2 is a heavy load. Verse 5 speaks of a backpack, something a soldier would carry, okay? Now, I know you see kids today carrying their backpacks to school, and they are a heavy load, but this is something that a soldier would carry, something that he would be able to do, not a heavy burden. So we are to help those with their heavy burdens, but we are also responsible for carrying our own load or backpack, you might say, as we walk with the Lord. In Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, we see the principle in regard to helping others. Paul said, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I like that. You know, as we gather together, as we start talking with each other, we're encouraging each other. We're helping each other, maybe even correcting each other. That's how a healthy body functions. And for the most part, each part of our human body does what it's supposed to do. But sometimes there's a problem. And the rest of the body has to come to the aid, to the help that portion of the body. If I cut myself, there's all kinds of platelets that are going to come and try to stop that bleeding. But what about infections? Because there's a lot of bugs around here. Well, then comes the white blood cells, and they're coming into action. We got to break in the skin. We got to get over there and help. Do you see how the human body works? In fact, you know, working in the hospital in the ICU for some 30 years, I've seen it where the human body is shutting down. And it's very, very interesting. Because when the human body starts to die, what happens is the things that you don't need, those start shutting down first. And everything is preserved for the things that you do need. Isn't that an amazing thing? How it just happened by random chance? Yeah, no, it didn't. And for me, you know, as a pastor, you know, I love watching people come together and helping each other. I love, you know, the church has changed a lot over the years in that, you know, years ago, I'd say amen and poof, the church was empty.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.